Good morning, and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Happy Friday.
Yeah. It's racing right along, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And here is our assignment. For everything that lives is holy, life delights in life. It's only when we're identified with ego that we experience an absence, something wrong, not enough. The moment attention is wholly here, delight is our experience. In presence, we wonder at a hummingbird's dance, the exquisite beauty of a butterfly's wing, and the marvel that is the industrious ant, the perfection of a peach. Appreciation, acceptance, curiosity, laughter, reverence, all labels for life at one with life. Today, practice the delight of presence, witnessing the holiness of all that is. Shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Sure.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jan.
Hello, Jan.
Hi. Just going to go back into regular phone here. Gosh, I'm so excited to talk to you both. I've just been experiencing in a really big way the effects of Project Joy and all of their practices. And the way that's showing up, and I think it relates, definitely relates to the assignment, is just really seeing, as you've been saying for a long, long time, Sherry, about, you know, in the conversation and not even realizing it, how much that happens and, just wanting to see it. And every time I come to that, I notice that I come to consciousness, it's, yes, thank you, I love you. And, I mean, this is all basic stuff, but it's, I really think
profound.
Project Joy. What?
It may be basic, but it's profound.
Yes. Well, and,
right?
And the email class, all the practices, Project Joy, allows that to happen in a bigger way than ever before. So just huge thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Aunt Jan, of course, the thing that I always want to underline with this is, and I know you're aware of this, but it doesn't always get seen and expressed in the same way. What makes the difference is your willingness to practice.
Yes.
Because all of that could be going on because there's always been a ton of stuff, a bunch of people saying this, saying it constantly. But until we reach that point where we say, this is what's possible, I get that, I want that, I'm committed to that, then we just slide along in this actually kind of an unfortunate place, although it doesn't always feel that way, where I know what the secret is, and I choose not to choose it.
Yeah, that's interesting the way you said that, because it doesn't feel that way when you're in it. Yeah, it doesn't.
Oh, it exactly. Doesn't,
because we're not there. Yes, the willingness and the support. I mean, Sangha.
Mm-hmm. It's a great combination.
Oh, my gosh. It really is.
Yeah.
And so then there is that unconditional love that the assignment points to, because we're there.
And delight.
Yeah, and also I have to say, it's the challenge. Well, it actually hasn't been that much of a challenge, but the old groove is to go into self-hate about, oh, you were gone again. Because how many times a day am I doing this? Many, many times a day. yes, thank you, I love you. I mean, because that's what I want to express. And I was just trying to get away. But when I'm not, I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know. But it's just been
well,
really wonderful.
Well, where you started was a really important place. And it's kind of the secret to the secret, which is the self-hate has to go. So realizing I'm lost in conditioned mind, I come back, I'm here. Yes, thank you, I love you. Well, what, I mean, come on. This is the 1,400th time you've done that today.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Well, and
what's
so great
thank
is,
you. Isn't it extraordinary?
What's so great, too, is the condition came in to let me forget that, that was the point I was making. So thank you. Thank you for bringing that back. Yes, and the email class has brought that to light over and over again, because no matter what enneatype we're looking at, that's the bottom line is it all, if we follow that enneatype, that conditioning, that's where we end up in self-hate. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, thank you. It's just...
Oh, you are so welcome. And you know, Jan, I want to make one more quick point about what you're saying, and that is, because you're right, when I say we choose not to choose the secret that we know, there is that element of, it doesn't feel like I'm choosing not because I'm unconscious. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of one of my very favorite old Zen stories, because, you know, I love old Zen. And one of the things that I'm most aware of is how it wouldn't fly today in our litigious society. So that's kind of regrettable. But so there's the fellow who goes to the monastery. And he just can't pay attention. He just can't. I mean, he's in a monastery. He's really trying, but he just can't pay attention. He just keeps drifting off, wandering off, and getting lost in conditioned mind. And so finally he goes to the teacher, and he's just constantly reporting how he's not able to do this. And the teacher said, well, that's fine. That's no problem. But the next time I see you not paying attention, I'm going to cut your head off. And you know, it's amazing. That fellow found out that he could pay attention just like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And part of it is realizing how high the stakes are.
And
it is our one and only life.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really important. And I have to say for myself, content I've been dealing with, the stakes have been really high. And it has been life and death stuff. And that has been a gift in it. For me, is this how you want to live or not? I mean, it isn't that harsh, but it's,
well,
you choose this, or you don't have it, you know?
That's right. And it can sound harsh when we say it that way, but from the unconditional, it's extremely loving. Simply saying, this is it. The choice is yours.
Yeah. And it's ours
in every
moment.
Or not. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are
we're
no
so
hard
lucky.
Feelings. Right,
no.
There are no hard feelings. Right? As far as we can tell with life, you want to miss this opportunity? It's okay. You know, as I'm fond of pointing out, what the Buddha taught is we can suffer for as long as we want to, and when we want to stop suffering, we can. So if there are no hard feelings, it's just, how long do we want to suffer? And what you're saying is, I'm done. I don't want to do that anymore.
And that has to be proclaimed in every moment. I mean,
that's right.
I guess that's the yes. That's thank you. I love you.
That's it. Yep. And
yeah. And
I'm tired of it.
No. In fact, it's a joy every time. It's like it grows. Mm-hmm. And one last thing. When you were saying that, I was just feeling the infinite patience of life, that it's always there for us. It's always there in its huge, all-encompassing way. And, it's just continuing to turn to it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you both.
Jan.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen. You know, what struck me so much about that, Sherry, is the extraordinary patience of life.
Mm.
And that in some senses, the way we get past self-hate, the self-hate of not choosing life, is because it's constructed in this way, that life is learning how to choose life over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not constructed any differently. It isn't as if we were born to choose life. I mean, we were, but I'm just saying that we have to go through the karma in order to choose it. And so the process of awakening can't be the content of self-hate.
Exactly. And, you know, when you were saying that, Ashwini, and it triggered by what Jan was saying, of course, you know, if we were people who talked in terms of God, then to realize that what we're choosing instead of God is to listen to the ugliness, the violence, the hatred, the negativity, the awfulness of what wants to live outside of the presence of God. And that gets presented to us as some sort of improvement program that is going to move us to a place where we will then want to and be acceptable to live in the presence of God. But none of that has anything to do with the presence of God. It is contained in it because everything is contained in the presence of God. But when we're looking to self-hatred, to be really clear that that's what we're doing, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the goodness, kindness, compassion that is our authentic nature.
Yes, it's almost as if
just get really clear about that. It's what?
Yes, I was just trying to reflect that, to really get clear that self-hate has nothing to do with the intelligence that animates.
That's
in fact, it just could be thought of as the extent to which we're not close to the unconditional.
Yes. So imagine, you know, in language, the unconditional says, I love you unconditionally. And we start through a routine of, no, that's not possible, because let me tell you everything that's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just stop it. Just stop it, because the only place that's happening is in conditioned mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, hey. It's Anne from New York.
Well, hello, Anne.
Hi. Totally off guard. I was just aware that the last conversation, I'm so appreciative of the practice and this whole year-long retreat of the radio show, Project Joy, Project Joy, and it seems like such a distant memory of when I used to constantly listen to ego and the voices in the head, and just the practice and willingness to show up. I mean, it does happen, and not like it used to. Like, it just seems like such a long time ago, and I still know when it was 24/7 in my head buzzing along listening to ego. Yeah.
And you know, Anne, that reminds me, that makes me see something that I want to say, because I think it's really important, and you are a living demonstration of it. And that is that we do have this brilliant, breathtaking opportunity to move out of that constant suffering and move into a place of well-being and gratitude and that sort of thing. And what we don't want to do when that happens to us is stop practicing. That's how the devil really, really pulls off the biggest coup of all, right? So I'm feeling so great now, I don't need to practice anymore. Yeah?
Yeah.
We don't want to do that, do we?
No, I when I first started back in 2008 with this practice, I definitely identify with what you're saying about, like, oh, I'm feeling good. I don't need to listen to a radio show. Everything's gonna be fine, or this or that or whatever. And then it would the broadcast of ego would show up, and then I'd be like, oh, better listen to Open Air. And then it would just became more and more and more of my life. Whereas like it now is like everyone knows me is like, okay, 8 o'clock East Coast, Anne listens to Open Air. And just the virtual meditation, it's like, okay, Anne does the virtual meditation. It's just in my life. It's not, oh, I'll listen to it or I'll participate when I can blank. It's just, this is my life. This is in the life that I live.
Yeah.
And so grateful for this, the deepening practice of this Project Joy is just such a gift. So wonderful for everyone that we are all here showing up, participating, and everyone just is so beautiful. So thank you for all of this, everyone. And me too.
Yes, exactly, because that's the point, isn't it? It takes all of us. So if it were a matter of, if it were kind of a self-improvement program, then, great. You start in 2008. By 2010, you know how to come to center, and okay, so bye, Anne. It was great having you with us. And here are those of us, who are offering this on a regular basis. We're just getting older and older and lonelier and sadder and poorer because, it's like raising children. You raise them and then they go off to live their own life, which you want them to do, but not as a way of disappearing. So it's growing that in that case family, but growing the Sangha such that when every way that we benefit, we are giving back, right? So that the next person who comes along and is looking for this has a Sangha to give to them what Sangha has given to us.
Great thing. Yeah.
So thank you for that. Appreciate
that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. Miss Sherry, that reminds me of a conversation we had many moons ago about how, when we come to practice, we're often suffering. And then when we do practice, we become much more happy or happier as people. But if we really want to wake up, we're not moving towards a more comfortable, egocentric life. We're moving towards waking up in each moment.
And so
there is a way in which when everything is going well and we're not suffering, we want to look at the places in our lives where we're not aware of identity operating, right?
Yeah. Yes,
and that's why
absolutely.
We want to challenge ourselves, and that was your article about in the newsletter. Find something that makes the ego scream, because you want to be completely awake.
Yes, because there is no. There is no happier egocentric life. Right, it just doesn't go that way. That's where we say life in its infinite compassion and wisdom will not let us stay stuck in ego. So you can have you can feel better, and countless people have told us this, right? That you feel better for a while, you're great, everything is working, and then you step into a hole, and it's not. And then there's, okay, I got to start all over again, and there's the self-hate and all. There's nothing wrong with that progression. It's just that it's not necessary. And the last point that I want to make on that is for people, Jan was really taught, that's what Jan was talking about. It's great to end the suffering that we came in here to recognize as suffering, but that's just the beginning. ending self-hatred is just the beginning of the joy that we are capable of as human beings as we wake up.
Mm-hmm. Because we could live in joy in every moment rather than coast within quotes.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because coasting is always downhill.
That's true. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air.
Thank
you. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, hi. It's Anna from England.
Well, hello there.
Hello. You can hear me all right, yeah?
Oh, perfectly.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really, really lovely to be on and to be with you all. I loved the assignment, looking at taking delight in presence and holiness of everything. What I've noticed is that I've been practicing it, and it is that word delightful. I've not really used it very much, and it does really sum up the feelings. So I'm going to use that word loads now. It's to do with the heart, and it's the heart singing. And so I've been looking at every single thing that I pass, and particularly anything to do with nature. Every tiny little thing, every tiny little leaf, and the whole thing is huge. For me, it has been. It just opens up so much. So in every moment, that leaf is completely different, and it's not the same twice. And then I don't know. There's stuff even beyond that. There's just that leaf takes me into the heavens and beyond to places that I don't know are there. And the other thing with all of that, it is lovely because it's a lovely adventure, but it takes up you know, all of your time and all of your presence, so there's no room for ego. So every moment is completely full of paying attention, looking for the holiness,
and feeling the delight, right?
It's a delight.
And delight does capture it, because there's that there's that uptick of energy. I don't know. I mean, you can just feel it in your whole energy system, in your heart, to be really present to anything.
Yeah,
the presence itself is delightful, and the anything, it's sort of mirroring it, right? It is kind of tricky to put into words, isn't it?
It really is. But yeah, you're right. It is like an energy, that feeling in the heart. It's a completely different energy, isn't it, to listening to ego.
Oh.
And and that thing about I'm going to chop your head off, but it's fantastic
you either live in delight or I'm going to chop your head off. Oh, okay.
I'm going to say that. I love it. But it's late summer here, and there's some really amazing birds that we get that are migrants, and they'll be going soon. You know, it's a bit like the whole cherry tree, the cherry blossom thing. You know, there are only going to be so many summers that I get to see, and we've got some really beautiful, lovely house martins that are flying around that nest here. And I'm only going to have so many summers, you know, that I see them. And so there is that urgency and training as if your hair's on fire, you know, when it's appropriate. So I'm really going to. And there's a second flush of lilac flowers that have come out, you know, amazing. They'll probably only be here for a couple of weeks. And so, so it's enjoying that delight and having that energy.
Well, gosh, that's so important what you're saying. So, to juxtapose those two, right? I can either be lost in a conversation in my head that I have been over, a million times, depending on how old you are, or I can be here for what's actually happening, that is here in this moment, and then will be gone,
mm-hmm.
and will never be here again, and I'm only going to have a finite number of those moments available to me to which I can be present.
Yeah.
And so when we lay it out like that, it really isn't a terribly confusing pair of choices, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's quite simple, really.
Yeah. And then once we're clear on that, now we're really into practice, right? So how do I do that? So I don't want to miss a second of this. How do I do that? That, right? And I don't know about you, but I could feel there was a sense of the path opening up just in that, how do I do that? That's one of those where as soon as I ask that question, the entire universe is going to, you know, come in to start clearing the path ahead of me and giving me that information. Right, guiding me, showing me, the insights are dropping in. Here's how you do it, here's how you do it. All you had to do is express the desire for it. All you had to do is want it.
Yeah, that is it. That's what happened today. It was like, right, I'm gonna do this, and then it was, you know, all day. It did it, it opened up the path. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Which is what we were talking about just a few minutes ago, right? That life, God, the universe, however people want to talk about the intelligence that's animating, that's what we're describing, and that's the love, the unconditional love that we are a part of.
Yeah.
And so to turn from that to this nonsense crapola in the head to suffer over it, oof, no.
No.
Thank you very much, but no.
No, I think I'll stick with the delight.
Yes, let's go with delight, thank you.
Love it, yes.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, all of you.
And enjoy.
Everyone. Yes. Thank you.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Anna.
Bye-bye. Bye, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Sherry, we have 3 minutes. Shall I bring on another caller? Or shall we go to our final?
You know, sure.
We'll make it quick. Hopefully the person will make be sensitive
all
to
right.
the time.
Yeah, because I can't make it quick. That's the thing. I can't make it quick. You know, Michael says 5 minutes on one subject. You know, if you get me stopped with 5 minutes on one subject, good luck. Okay, let's try it.
Yeah, okay. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller. Well, it might be that life decided for us, Jerry.
Don't you love it?
Okay.
All right.
So here's Friday and here's our assignment.
The path is opening before us.
Take away love and our earth is a tomb.
Take away love and our earth is a tomb?
Yes.
Wow.
We're all familiar with the dark room. When we talk about being in the dark room, we talk about feeling anxious, angry, hateful, critical, resentful, isolated, separate, inadequate, incomplete, dissatisfied, despairing, hopeless, limited, etc. When identified with the illusion of a separate self, there is no love. Practice offers us the movement from the dark tomb to the light room. When we find ourselves wandering in the dark alleyways of ego identity, we reach for the recorder, turn to the mentor, and make our way back to light and love, unconditional love. Today, practice the gift of love on earth by choosing unconditional love and acceptance. The calling of him.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm ready.
Yes.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and we'll see everybody next Monday.
Yes. Yes. Enjoy, everybody. Treasure yourself.
Take care.
Go happy.